sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Siblings in Christ, sisters and brothers, grace to you and peace on this Ascension Sunday. Grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, this passage from Acts chapter 1, and also this gospel reading from John, Jesus ascending and Jesus affirming his disciples being in the fold and praying for them now, this all is a pivot moment. You know what pivot means, right? That word had a major renaissance during the pandemic as schools and businesses and churches, the whole world really, had to pivot, right? It's a great word that I first learned from basketball. Maybe you too. One foot is set, the other able to step and step and step so that you can see what's next and even act on it. You see where I'm going here on Ascension Sunday? There are really two things happening here on Pivot Sunday. One foot set, the other able to step and step and step so that you can see what's next, what's new, even act on it. My reading of this text, this time around, this Acts chapter 1 text, maybe you notice too, different things each time you read. My reading this time of this Acts chapter 1 text, the phrase that jumped out, that really hooked me, I wasn't expecting this, but it happened a couple times as I prepared this week. It's that they returned because they had only gone a Sabbath day's walk. A Sabbath day's walk. I honestly didn't know exactly what that meant. I started filling it in with all kinds of ideas and explanations, but I had to read up a bit just to check myself before I got off track. A Sabbath day's walk was not very much. It was literally a half a mile, and that was the distance that a person was simply allowed to walk on a Sabbath day by Jewish law. So that's all that the gospel writer is saying, or is it? It's not nothing, a half a mile. What is that, two times around the track? But it's not nothing, but it's not too far either. It's not too far from home. It's not too far from home so that the disciples can get to work in this task to which Jesus has called them. The work to which they're already a part of, enfolded in, as Jesus names in his prayer in the Gospel of John today. One foot grounded, you see? They're not forgetting all the lessons that they've learned. One foot grounded. They're not forgetting Jesus' words and actions through his ministry before the resurrection. They're not forgetting all of those lessons, all of that love. And they're also, by the way, honoring their Jewish faith and traditions, one foot grounded, you see, sabbatical practices, rest and prayer, one foot grounded, you see, staying close to home on one hand, on one foot. Pivot is a beautiful image. Friends, we don't have to go very far to be about the work that Christ creates us, calls us, needs us, loves us to do, one foot grounded, one foot rooted and planted in touch with our forebears, our ancestors, our friends and relatives, our neighbors next door and down the street and even across town, just a little ways away, a Sabbath day's walk away, one foot grounded. What's your Jerusalem? What's the place you go back to after venturing out a bit? The place you get back to work in? back to school, back to the routines and rituals of daily life. Go back there. Actually, in some ways, we never really left there. We kept in touch. What's that mean for you? And with the church, too. What's the pivot point? What's the best of the church, you know? What's that part that's actually worth never leaving? What's the center? Everything else can shift around it. Could you articulate that to someone who's never heard or got ideas about the church that really don't match your knowledge of Jesus or your experience? Maybe to keep with the metaphor in basketball, you know, you could travel. The opposite of pivoting is, well, you get called for traveling, then you're moving illegally. You know, you've shifted away completely and, oh, nope. But what is at the center? Everything else could shift around it. Could you articulate that? What's the grounding point? I had to articulate that this week again while I was at my preaching conference with my old buddy Brian. Brian and I, we meet up every year for the Festival of Homiletics. Some of you are aware of this. This time it was in New Orleans. Brian is my best college friend. My best friend, really. And a faithful pastor from Southern California. And years ago, he and I got hooked on this conference, and it's so much fun always. It's a reunion for us too. We listen to sermons and lectures all day. So you're wondering, well, why not a better sermon if you've been listening to sermons? And I used to come back from this event, honestly, a little bit depressed in my early years in ministry, because it's like, I can't preach like all those great preachers and lecturers about preaching. I can't do that. So I'd come back just feeling, well, now I've shifted from that and I come back really filled, and I come with new ideas and inspiration for sure. But I also receive some great preaching during this week. So anyway, we love all that. We love all that, the sermons and the lectures. But we also have to eat, right? And we also like to have fun. So later one day this last week, you would find us having fun and eating at a pub in the French Quarter, a famous one actually called Pat O'Brien's. And like you do, especially like Brian and I do, we chat with people. We chat with people. And we're sitting there at Pat O'Brien's, and this family invites us to sit down with them. Oh, man. Brian likes to tell people sooner than I do that we are pastors. Oh, and so, well, you know, when they find that out, the floodgates open, and you probably know where this is going. Like, you know, what kind of pastor? Oh, Lutheran. Oh, so what do Lutherans believe anyway? They ask us. And this is a family, two generations, and they're there in New Orleans celebrating. The parents are taking the kids who are newly engaged, so a future daughter-in-law and their son, just graduated from college and getting married in this next year. So what do Lutherans believe anyways, they ask? How would you answer that in a bar, in a tourist location where all walks of life are coming through? Lots of traveling. Get the pun. That's Apostle Paul territory, right? I mean, we talk here about what it means to be Lutheran, and you probably are tired of hearing about what it means to be Lutheran, but many places, most places, don't even know. I take a deep breath. Okay, here's the question. And I go on to say some things. You know, Brian and I look at each other and kind of rock, paper, scissors, and there are plenty of other questions that he responded to, But I responded to this one. Say some words about grace and peace, about God's love at the heart, at the core, about how it's not our works or our actions or our earning of God's favor, but rather God's acting on us first, and that being what makes us righteous. not anything that we do, but what God does. Blah, blah, blah. It's the kind of stuff that you've probably heard me say many of times. All kinds of fancy rhetoric at this Festival of Homiletics. All kinds of beautiful images, the number of advanced degrees of all these speakers, the new scholarship that's coming out, the big words that were coming at us all week, the rich and loaded images and ideas back at the Festival of Homiletics. Meanwhile, here we are at Pat O'Brien's talking about God's love. And it reminds me of that verse. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, what's the next part? Do you remember? You can tell the love of Jesus who died and rose for all. One of our speakers actually sang that song this week. I mean, all the great things. And they sang the old verse from There Is a Balm in Gilead. And that came to mind in the moment. And I just shared about God's love. Now, I'm not literally close to home in this scene that I'm painting for you. I'm more than a half mile away, but I'm not saying anything new to this family. Brian and I joked actually afterwards, well, I guess it's just another day of work, you know, as we laughed about this encounter. 1 foot set. What is at the center? 1 foot grounded. That's the ascension text, you see, just a Sabbath day's walk. 1 foot set, the other foot. What do you think? Pentecost is coming. The other foot is able to set down in different places. Our Pat O'Brien's encounter, it's actually still a decent image for the other foot, I suppose. But then again, we weren't really that different from our new friends. I mean, they were all white people. They were all upper middle class people with Christian background. They might have been unchurched in most of their experience and didn't understand all the different members of the Christian family. But they were not too different from ourselves, heteronormative. College and advanced degrees, and enough money and time and privilege to sit around on a weekday in New Orleans. So on one hand, they were like us, and another they weren't, but what more might our other foot touch down into? 1 foot set, the other able to step and step and step so that you can see what's next and even act on it. This is an outreach image. 1 foot set, 1 foot grounded, the other stepping, stepping, stepping so that you can see what's next. It's an evangelistic image in the best possible sense. You won. Evangelion is the Greek evangelist that literally and only actually means good announcer, evangelist. You is good, E-U. It's changed into a V in the English, but E-U. And then angel, the word angelist, angel, announcer, messenger. It only means good announcer. It's been co-opted, this word evangelist or evangelism. It's been co-opted in the United States to mean a whole lot of other things. In fact, that was part of our conversation too when I mentioned what group of Lutheran I belong to, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They thought, oh, what do you mean evangelical? I had to talk about that. What is your other foot touching down into? 1 foot planted in the central things. In the love of Jesus. I love this because pivoting has us involved in conversations in the real world. As we touch down that other foot in all kinds of different areas. All kinds of different areas. International affairs. And politics. Climate change. And the church. The rights and humanity of our LGBTQIA+ siblings. We can touch down in all these things. You see, legislative decisions on Capitol Hill and City Hall, interfaith dialogue with Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Jews, abortion and gun violence. We can comment on these things. One foot touching down the other. The war in Ukraine, police brutality, marijuana legalization, food deserts, and all the shades and colors, all walks and genders, all socioeconomic backgrounds. Do you see? All pivoting. One foot set, the other able to step and step and step. And by the way, I don't mean stomp and stomp and stomp, but rather just a light touchdown. Peaceably moving, different perspectives, different views, different possibilities, and then you can act on those. This is our God. This is Jesus ascending but never leaving at the very same time, praying for us, naming us a part of the fold, going on and staying right by at the very same time. Pentecost is coming. In other words, the Holy Spirit is just warming up here. She's back in the locker room getting ready to come out onto the court. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. She's getting ready to fill us all with courage and energy and love and grace upon grace upon grace that we need. In our own lives, in our own hearts, and grace upon grace is so much so that we can go forward ourselves. We are blessed to share this grace with the world so hurting, the world so isolated, the world so sick, the world so unknowing of this God who is love, world that is dying. You know, I had this feeling after we were with this family this last week. It was overwhelming, really, because we worry about the church dying and not being relevant. And I was just overwhelmed with this idea that, you know, I wish anybody that's concerned about the church either dying or being not relevant or not having a place could have observed that interaction and the tears streaming down their faces as I'm simply talking about God's grace and God's love for them, God's inclusion of them, God's forgiveness. I mean, the world is dying. The church has something else to say. Has a word of life. You, friends in Christ, only a Sabbath day's walk from home, you are receiving this love again today, this bread and wine, this body and blood of Christ, this euangelion, this good message, this good announcement. You're receiving it in order to become it. You are in the fold, on the team, past the rock, and taught to pivot. Let's go. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.